Today's parable is probably the most confusing parable in all the Gospels. When I taught at Altar High School, one of the theology teachers would divide up the parables and give each student a different parable, and they had to, each on a different day in class, they had to give a reflection on that parable. And this poor girl got this parable and studied it and had no idea what it meant. So she went to the teacher, and the teacher came to me because the teacher had no idea what this parable meant. But I think what our Lord is getting at when he talks about the dishonest steward, he's not commending him because he was being dishonest. What our Lord is highlighting is how shrewd and how prudent this guy was in providing for himself. You know, he knew he was going to lose his job, so he set it up so that when he did, he'd have people that would provide for him. And I think that the lesson that the Lord is getting at is when we put our minds to it, we can be extremely effective in building up worldly wealth. You know, think about how much time and effort people put first from a young age in school, going to good colleges so they can get a good career position. Think of all the time and effort people spend on their careers and what it takes to get a promotion. And when they invest their money, how much time they spend researching where a good investment is and what's going to get them the best return and how much risk there is. Think of all the time and effort people spend on that. What if we put the same time and effort into what matters to God? You know, what if we approached our life of faith with that same intensity and with that same amount of planning that people do with finances? If we look at our first reading, you know, through the prophet Amos, the Lord is going after the people of Israel, and it's for a similar thing. They're focused on worldly wealth, but they're neglecting what matters to God. And so he criticizes the people because they're stealing, they're cheating people out of money, they're using false scales when they're measuring out wheat for people. And the other thing he criticizes them for is on the Sabbath and on the Lord's festivals. These people can't wait for the day to be over so they can get back to their financial transactions. They're so concerned about their money that they can't wait to get through it. How long till the Sabbath is over and we can go back to making some money? And I think that's an important lesson for us. I was at this one church that I was assigned to previously. And people couldn't wait to get out of Mass. Like, before Mass was over, literally a third of the congregation was gone. Like, the two main center sections of pews, after communion, halfway back, there was no one left. You're like, where'd all the people go? You know, they're just slipping out, dropping like flies. They couldn't wait to get out. You know, they were so concerned about other things. And I don't know if it was sporting events that they had to get to, or whether it was their jobs or entertainments, or to get in line at Bob Evans. I don't know what it was. But they were all slipping out. And how must that appear to God, who lays down his life for us on this altar? This is the sacrifice of Calvary extended across time, where Christ is literally pouring out his life for us. It's like people are checking their watch, being like, how soon can I slip out of here? Will he know? Think about how offensive that is to God when we respond to his love with contempt. You know, how can I get out of here? And how many of those people do you think ever repent and confess that sin? And so I think it's important for us to look at our values. And, you know, as this dishonest steward was so shrewd in dealing with worldly wealth, for us to ask the question, how shrewd are we in dealing with what matters to God? Because what good is all the material success and all the entertainment that we can get from this world if it costs us our souls? And which is more important? You know, the material objects in this world, they're inanimate objects. The soul is where we experience peace or anxiety. It's where we experience joy or distress, hope or despair, companionship or loneliness. You know, true happiness is found within our souls, not in the material objects that this world offers. And for centuries of human history, people realized that. If you look historically, people were far more concerned with the state of their spirit, of their soul, than they were with material wealth. It's only in the past couple centuries since the Enlightenment that people have been so concerned and think that the key to happiness can be found in material possessions. Now, it's interesting to think about how you can have someone who has all the material possessions that the world can offer. They have financial security. They have an awesome home furnished perfectly. They have all the latest flash screen TVs. They have the latest phones. But they can be miserable and despairing in their hearts, even though they have everything the world can offer them. And there can be other people who are living in destitute poverty who have joy in their souls. St. Teresa of Calcutta, who was canonized two weeks ago, she had a quote. This journalist, this Western journalist, went and visited Calcutta, and she asked her St. Mother Teresa a question about the poverty in Calcutta. And St. Teresa of Calcutta gave an interesting answer. She said, "The spiritual poverty of the Western world is much greater than the physical poverty of our people. You in the West have millions of people who suffer terrible loneliness and emptiness. They feel unloved and unwanted. These people are not hungry in the physical sense, but they are in another way. They know they need something more than money, yet they don't know what it is. What they are missing is a living relationship with God." Mother Teresa is pinpointing something very insightful about our culture, that even though we have all the worldly possessions we could want, that there is a deep and profound loneliness and emptiness which is greater than the poverty in the slums of Calcutta. That there are people in our world who have lost the deepest and most important thing that they could possibly have in the depths of their soul. Every human being's greatest need is for a relationship of love with God. And in the West, because people have turned to materialism and material possessions, they have lost the most important thing. And they try and fill the void with all these empty possessions that will never give them what they truly desire. So she highlighted something very important in our society, that there is a deep poverty, not in terms of material poverty, but poverty in our souls, the most important thing. True peace and joy comes from being in a right relationship with God, with ourselves, and with others. It's the soul that matters first and foremost. And so the dishonest steward paid careful attention, and he put all sorts of effort into making sure that he was providing for himself materially. Are we doing so in terms of having a vibrant, living relationship with Jesus Christ? Can we honestly say each one of us thirsts for a deeper relationship with Christ, to know him more intimately? How do we go about doing that? Well, if we put our energy towards Christ instead of material possessions, we'll find a way. But certainly reading Scripture is where we find Jesus Christ present. Reading and meditating upon Scripture with the simple question, who is Jesus Christ? Who is this Lord that we serve? Take some time, 15 minutes a day, going through one of the Gospels and seek to know Jesus Christ more deeply. Or come to adoration, which we have on Wednesday night after the daily Mass. Jesus Christ has been waiting for you for 20 centuries in the Eucharist, waiting in the hope that you would come before him and kneel before him and seek to know him. So as we reflect on today's readings, the question is, are we rich in what matters to God? And are we prudent in providing not for ourselves materially, but for what truly matters? The state of our souls, and having a living, vibrant relationship with Jesus Christ.